Let us pray. O Lord, make us master of ourselves, that we might be the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. A man bought a new Alfa Romeo. He was so proud of it that he went to a Catholic priest to have it blessed. The priest said, "What's an Alfa Romeo?" And the man was deeply offended by that, so he said, "I do not want this man blessing my Alfa Romeo." So he went down the street to a Presbyterian church and talked to the minister, asking the same thing. The minister said she could not do that, that Presbyterians don't do things like that. We do everything decently and in good order. Undefeated, he went to the Mennonite church on the other side of the street with the same request. "Wow," said the minister, "an Alfa Romeo. I'll do it. But what's a blessing?" Now, if you don't know what an Alfa Romeo is, you pass the Amish simplicity of life test. It's a very expensive Italian automobile. Our text addresses the minister's question, what is a blessing? The one, of course, is from the Sermon on the Mount. I much prefer the translations that preface the Beatitudes with the word blessed. Happy is a common substitute. I don't believe it carries the weight. Blessing or blessed is all-encompassing. We would not say to a person in mourning, "Happy." Better, I think, is "Blessed are they who mourn." Blessed are the pure in heart, the humble of demeanor, and the other great blesseds. The other text is from the book of Numbers. It's not a common book that we ministers go to find texts for sermons. It's a tedious, almost impossible book to read, containing details about rituals, the dimensions of the temple, and mostly things that are very hard to apply to the present. About such things, or such parts of the Bible, I go with something that I heard long ago. It's an easy thing to remember. If you're going to eat a fish, you go for the flesh, not the bones. When you read the Bible, go for the gospel message rather than the containers in which it is held. P.T. Forsyth was an English congregational minister at the beginning of the last century. He wrote some very good books that are still valuable to read. He gave this good advice for preachers of the word that applies to readers of the word. Preach the gospel and use the Bible. Don't use the gospel and preach the don't preach the Bible and use the gospel. This again is the wonderful line that is some of the flesh in the book of Numbers. It's very familiar. It's often used at the close of a service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you peace. These words were printed on the sanctuary wall on that side of a church where I once served. I doubt that the worshipers at the Mason City, Illinois church rarely notice them because they're not directly in view. But up in front, the pastor sees them very clearly. And often as I stood up to give the sermon, I would see those words, and I found comfort in them. It maybe had been a week when I hadn't had all of the time that I wanted to put the sermon together, and yet I had tried my best, and here were these words, the Lord bless you. Gave me a little extra energy for the time ahead. Blessed and blessing are words with slightly different usages. But I don't want to go there this morning. I don't want to do a whole lot of breaking down of these things. The Lord bless you. Blessed are the pure in heart. When we say bless you as a substitute for thank you, are all part of a common cloth. For God is in all things. Blessing is in all things. The heavens tell the glory of God. And God is in you and me like a burning wick, an inner light, the beyond within, a seed, and other ways to express this. So that for people of faith, all of their experiences are religious experience, not something that's very different than the rest of our experience. Religious experience is all of the experience of a faithful person. It is the candle, another text that we've been using, I'm going to be using all month. It is the candle of the Lord illumining all our innermost parts and connecting everything. Blessings are the continuing activities of God, much of time the incognito work of God. They are those experiences that lift us up, that pick us up, that inspire us, feed us, empower us, delight us, humble us, amuse us, put us to sleep, and put us to loving and serving. They are experiences that summon us to reach out to others. Blessings are to our spiritual makeup, our emotional makeup, what oxygen and water are to our physical bodies. Some of them, of course, are formal and liturgical. I've never blessed an Alfa Romeo and don't really plan to. Like the dedication of a baby, the liturgy for a wedding, a baptism, at the bedside of a sick person, and at memorial services and committal services, we bless. And usually, they are less formal. Almost all of the time, these blessings are less formal. We pause to give thanks for food. They take all shapes and arrangements and words and actions and gestures with water, the bread and the cup of communion. And many, many more are far more informal. A lot of young people have gone off to college, some for the first time in the last month. A friend told me many years ago what happened when he went away to college at 18 years of age. The school was a long ways away from the comforts of home. And leaving, he found he had a large lump in his throat. And when his parents had left him at the school, and he was beginning to unpack his suitcase, he opened it up, his mother had packed it, and on the top of the clothes were two long, thin pieces of cloth. They looked kind of familiar, but he couldn't figure out what they were, and then it dawned on him. They were apron strings that his mother had cut off her apron. It was her way of letting go of her son, her blessing, giving her parting blessing. And they carried with them the communication regarding his new independence and the responsibilities that go with them. Sometimes a picture communicates more than words. He was double blessed. One afternoon, not long ago, I was in my car and I had pulled up to a stoplight beside a shiny new blue Ford Focus. A young woman was at the wheel and a young man in the passenger seat beside her. They were just beside me, so I couldn't help but kind of watch out of the corner of my eye. Didn't mean to be snoopy, but I just did that. It was evident that they liked each other by the smiles. And almost spontaneously, I didn't pick up any cues. They just leaned over and kissed. A nice little peck on the lips. A tender blessing for them, and it was for me. I wanted to give them a little cheer. And there is much more than economy to be said for a small car like a Focus. Those kissing have less distance to reach. There is a time in a small business when an inventory has to be taken. What's on the shelves? Taking this for a cue, I invite you to think this morning and in the week to come about your blessing inventory. What's on your Thanksgiving shelves? I have this little Episcopalian prayer chain. And there is no law from borrowing and adapting the good thing from other traditions. Sometimes at the end of the day, I use it to inventory my blessings, my gratitude, how God has blessed me, and how maybe I have in some small way blessed someone else. You can make one with a little cord and with some beads. There's an old folk hymn that captures this inventory of blessings so very well. Jane originally had it for our second hymn. I had suggested it, but we've made it kind of a secret. We're going to put it in the sermon just now, very spontaneously, although Wayne's prepared and Elsa's prepared, and it's going to be up here, not quite spontaneous. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. I don't like to do this, but how many of you know that? Oh, I could ask how many of you don't know that, but that would be kind of embarrassing, so we won't do that. It has a bouncy kind of melody, and I invite you, as we sing it, to catch the spirit of count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Wayne?
Because this is a song that those in the younger age spectrum may not be quite as familiar with, I've asked Elsa to play it through once, and the words will come up on the screen at some point. And we'll sing it using the Mennonite traditional way in the chorus. I had to go back to 1938 to find a Mennonite hymnal that had this song in it. That's how old it is.
Thank you.
Very good. You sang that with spirit. Thinking about a blessing inventory, it's limitless. All the big ones and the small ones. It is simply a matter of paying attention. We live on the west side of the MRC, and I greet the morning. Many of you have seen me sitting on our front porch. The trees, the flowers, the neighbors walking by, reading a good book, my journal, all are blessings, and lots of squirrels. I understand that at the University of Illinois, they have a squirrel watching society. And they also have a society to watch the people who watch the squirrel watching society. I like those little creatures. The birds that come to our feeders are cause for thanks. And I'd like to think that we bless them with food and water. Whenever we offer a listening ear, a kindly deed, a word of encouragement, we bless. Don't need to use any words with it. I find going grocery shopping a bit of a drudge, but one of the things that makes it a blessing is watching the children. How many ways children can situate themselves in a grocery cart. And those little carts that they have of their own that they often run into things, including other shoppers. Smiles, thank yous, courtesies, handshakes, laughter, the everyday stuff of life. In the eyes of faith, they're all blessings. We don't use a word I'm going to use now very often, fortunately, but it describes quite a bit. Benediction is a familiar word, takes the blessing and making it more of something formally done. But the opposite of a benediction, the opposite of a blessing, is called a malediction. Now, the word just sounds evil. We are right now in our society having a flurry of maledictions. The incivilities in our public discourse at the highest levels, road rage, hatred for people that don't talk, dress, think, believe, and act as we do. And that's just the short laundry list. Other such abusive actions may not be against the law, but for people of faith, all abusive words or actions are against the moral law of loving others and loving oneself. For better or for worse, I read bumper stickers. I watch couples beside me that kiss, and I read bumper stickers. And many of the bumper stickers are okay or funny. But watch, some of them I would describe as maledictions. They tear down. They fuel a climate of hate. They revel in nihilism. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to rise above a climate of maledictions and put our feet down in another alternative culture, a culture of respect for others, of justice, of love. I want to conclude with some words that seem to fit all of this very well. I read them a long time ago in a book, and I find them good for just now. The lines are entitled "To Be Blessed," and the author is William Henry Channing, who was a 19th century American minister. I invite you to mull these words over. To be blessed is to live content with small means, to seek elegance rather than luxury, and refinement rather than fashion, to be worthy, not respectable, and wealthy, not rich, to listen to stars and birds, babes and sages with open heart, to study hard, to think quietly, act frankly, talk gently, await occasions, hurry never. In a word, to let the spiritual and the unbidden and unconscious grow up through the common. This is to be blessed. This is the symphony of our lives to live. Amen.